Okay, we know that among the various dysfunctional relationships that we have in the Sefer Bereishit, that one of the major ones is the one between Yosef and his brothers. And, you know, we could spend time in seeing on how it eventually deteriorates to the point that it almost gets to murder, or at least speaking about murder, which is, by the way, particularly appropriate when one of the former ministers, Knesset member this week, did say that they should have killed the protesting... yes, it was, I actually met him on a plane. The individuals who were completely out of control and should have been arrested for what they did, the protesters.
Correct.
I mean, they should have been arrested. But to say that, you know, that it's a shame they didn't kill them is a little extreme. Actually, I met this individual a couple of years ago. And
Yes.
And I said to him at that point that part of the problem that we have in Israel is the culture of speech, which means, I'm not going to say even in the Knesset, especially in Knesset, the way that people speak about one another, the various sides. And I said that there should be some kind of a panel that censures people that misuse speech in an extreme way. Because I said, if leaders speak in this way, then there's going to be a trickle down, and you're going to have other people, speaking this way, and literally, it's leads to life and death situations. So he told me at that point that, especially, I assume he was impressed with my Hebrew accent, and he said that, no, you don't really understand the culture of this country and over here the culture. So, but the answer is no. I do understand the culture, and the culture needs to be changed. That's exactly the point. My Arabic is a little weak. Anyway, but stay over here. Part of the way things end up with Yosef and his brothers, it's almost to the point of death. And again, you can't escape that. And the death is avoided because then they only sell him instead of killing him. And again, we have to appreciate that was already, you know, a plan, actually plan C, but plan A was to kill him. Reuven had plan B. But what's the starting point? Which means, why did things deteriorate so much? And there's no question that there's various parts of it, and the various parts of it are going to include the coat that Yaakov gives to Yosef. And Chazal do not mince words over here, and they say that Yaakov was wrong for showing favoritism to one child. So it's good that even though you love me most, that you they didn't show favoritism, because that wouldn't be right. It's okay. So Chazal attack Yaakov for this, and I said, and rightfully so. And the way that his favoritism is manifest is by the coat that he gives him. Now, what's interesting is, what is the reason the text gives for Yaakov's favoring or loving him? There's a reason that it gives for it. And the logical reason that all of us would make up, if we didn't know any better, would have been because he was the son of the favored wife. And so on. It doesn't say that here. It says that, it almost says that later on. You remember where? When Binyamin is going to be taken away, he goes. I loved Rachel, and I had two children from her. One is gone, and what's going to happen to him? But it doesn't say that over here. It says that Yaakov loves him. Why? Can I have the Tanakh? Okay, thanks. When it starts off the parasha, it's actually a very strange way to start. Okay, you can look at the first source. Number one, Eile Toldot Yaakov, Yosef ben Shvasre Shana. That's a very strange way to begin, because it should have said Eile Toldot Yaakov and then given the whole list. Now, the truth is, the list of the sons was given previously. Then, right, the list of the sons was already given in last week's portion. After the list of all the sons is given, then it goes into an Eile Toldot Esav, and goes really into quite a lot of detail, but over here, the strangeness is, Ela told that Yaakov, Yosef, as if that Yaakov's it sounds that way, but the verse itself is difficult, and we're going to come back to this verse in a minute. We're actually going to spend, whenever I finish with this introduction, we're going to spend the rest of today on this one verse, but it goes on to say, the Yisrael ahav et Yosef mikol banav, kiven zukunim hulo, vasalok tonet pasim. Later, okay, from that point on, we're told about v'yiru achav ki oto ahav avihim, and the brothers saw that their father loved him, mikol achav v'yisnu oto, and they hated him. Which means it's all almost a direct proportion. The father loves him, the others hate him, the symbol becomes the coat, as we also see later on, but it gets exasperated because of the dreams and because of the interpretations of the dreams and because of other things, and then it says they hate him more and they continue to hate him and so on and so forth. They're jealous of him. All of that is introduced afterwards. Now, first of all, it may be extremely important that it does not say over here that Yaakov loves him because he is the son of Rachel. In fact, it doesn't say that Yaakov loves him. I know that you're going to say, what are you talking about? But I just read it. It does not say Yaakov loves him. So now you're looking at me like I'm crazy. What did it say? No. Did not say that. Why? Because it says V'Yisrael ahav et Yosef. That's very interesting. Yeah, it's very interesting. It's Vayeshev Yaakov et Mergurev. Yaakov settles in the land where it's right. Ela told it's Yaakov, right, and so on and so forth. And the next verse, V'Yisrael Ohev et Yosef. So you have to wonder if the shift over here between Yaakov and Yisrael is something which is significant, which means, is it that Yaakov really loves him more than all the other children, or is it that Yaakov feels that Yosef is going to be the leader, that this is one of coronation, that he's looking for all the children, who should be the one who's going to be coronated? And it's interesting, if you wanted to bring proof to back me up, you want to back me up? The Ketonet Pasim is the only other time. The only other time Ketonet Pasim is introduced is by the children of David. It's considered to be royal clothing. So therefore, if it's royal clothing over there, the Ramban makes this reference. If it's royal clothing over there, then I can presume that it's royal clothing over here. And over here, it's not that Yaakov loves him. As a matter of fact, the other part which is problematic is it says again to be careful now. V'Yisrael havet Yosef mikol banav kiven zakunim halo. So before you say it's not, first you need an interpretation. It says they loves him literally because he is a ben zikunim, a son zikunim. The problem is, what does a zikunim mean? If ben zikunim means the way that we use it today, which generally is meant to be a child of old age, which means a person can have 3-4 children, and then there's 5 years later, 8 years later, 10 years later, they have one more child, that is the ben zikunim. Right, that's how we would use the phrase today. So that's just a little difficult to say for two reasons. One reason is that there are at least two of Yosef's siblings who are within 6 months' age of him, which is very strange from Ben Zikunim. The other thing is that there actually is a Ben Zikunim, and that's Binyamin. So therefore, a number of commentaries choose not to interpret this as a child of old age. Rather, they would interpret zakein in its other use, meaning a zakein would mean old or elder. Now, an elder could mean based upon chronology, many years have gone by, or an elder can be based upon wisdom. So ben zakunim could be that Yisrael loves him because of his wisdom. And because of his wisdom, he sees this great capability with him. Now, if that is correct, right? If what I just now said is correct, and I have no reason to believe it's not correct. And again, I just pointed two things. The ben zikunim is inappropriate if it really means a child of old age. Second thing you can't avoid is the use of Yisrael over here. Now, the truth is that it would be proper to do a complete study of all of the uses of Yaakov, all the uses of Yisrael. I did that already once. Actually,
I remember.
You remember? I did that once. Actually, when I gave the manuscript of my book to my brother to look at, and he said, it's too convincing. the thing about Yaakov and Yisrael. He goes, people will think that that's really the right answer. I said, okay. I said, that's the idea. Although the truth is, it's not a simple thing. Over here in this particular case, the shift between the use of Yaakov in the first couple of verses and then say Yisrael Lahav is really blatant, and that would lead us in this direction that Yisrael is a more national entity instead of Yaakov is a more individual entity. And therefore, when I said before, it never says that Yaakov loves Yosef. It's true. It says Yisrael loves Yosef. And then you just have to question, so what is the significance of that? And the loving him because of Ben Zukunim is because of his capabilities, or is it because he happens to be his child of his old age, which is also difficult. So therefore, I've tried to explain this verse and what I think is really the pshat and the way to understand it. Now, at the same time that Yaakov loves him because of his capabilities and sounds like he's ready to coronate him, which eventually later on, I mean, Yosef is the man who would be king. And later on, he actually does become all but coronated, as it were. I mean, as close as he can get to that in terms of Paro's house. So therefore, I mean, it's correct what Yaakov sees. And that's also one of the things that we've pointed out many times, that everybody sees Yosef's capabilities except for his brothers, right? Everybody sees it. Unless, by the way, I saw one commentary who said the opposite. No, his brothers saw it also, but they just thought he was dangerous. they thought he was dangerous. If I'm not mistaken, it may have been Rabbi Soloveitchik who said this, that he thought that Judaism wanted to stay away from charismatic leaders. That just because somebody is charismatic and so on, and that's what they saw. They saw he's incredibly charismatic. Everybody sees it in him. And therefore, the brothers felt that's not the type of leader we need. It's not charisma, which is actually a very, very interesting statement, especially as the elections in America will get closer and closer. I once met Newt Gingrich. I'm going to stop throwing around names now, but I once had breakfast with him. I had a one-on-one conversation with him, which was very interesting, but not for today. Only if he becomes a candidate will I reveal what happened to him. Anyway. Okay. So now let's look at the first source again. Eila told with Yaakov, Yosef ben Shvasre Shana, which is just almost like a non sequitur. Eila told with Yaakov, Yosef ben Shvasre Shana. Yosef is 17 years old. Haya roe et achav batzon. Now that's not a simple turn of phrase. Haya roe et achav batzon. Vohu na'ar et b'nei bilhav b'nei zilpa, nishe aviv. So, we have three parts of this verse, or four parts. First is Eila toldot Yaakov. Next, let's push that aside. These are the stories of Yaakov, if you will, and then starts with this whole story of Yosef. What do we know? Yosef ben Shvasre Shana. As far as I recall, Yaakov has lived back in the land of Israel for 9 years at this point. Okay. Is that correct? That's what I recall. Or at least back by his father for 9 years. Eila told that Yaakov Yosef ben Shvasre Shana, Haya roa et echav batzon. Now what exactly does that mean? Haya roa et echav batzon. I mean, roa is a shepherd. He shepherded his brothers of the flocks. Now, sometimes the word et could be im, right? So then it would be that he shepherded with his brothers. Then, of course, you just have to ask yourself, then why does it write et and not im? Because et leaves it with a little strange. So there's something about him being a shepherd with them. Second, hunar et b'nei bilhav et b'nei zilpa, nishe aviv. The next thing is hunar et or na'ar im. So we have this problematic, what does this word na'ar mean over here? And then Vayuve Yosef Adi Batam Ra'ah Elaveim, and Yosef brought certain derogatory things to his father. Now, this is the starting point of the problem. Again, on the other hand, we have Yaakov or Yisrael, who loves Yosef and wants to coronate him. But over here, within this verse, we have the problem. And as I said, we'll spend the rest of today trying to understand this verse and see what various commentaries do with it. But as we're going to read the commentaries, you really should be thinking about two things. One is, what does the comment that they say mean in terms of the dynamic of the family? Right? How is the family dynamic impacted by the particular actions over here? And second, we should be thinking about is, what may be the prototype of that kind of behavior? Which means, where did this behavior come from that they are that they are using. Okay, so those are really the two things that we'll be keeping an eye on as we proceed. The psikta, which is a midrash, haya ro'eh tachiv batzon, lo amar hatzon, ela batzon, shahayo shoter aleim v'shomer otam, mayasu batzon, shalei shchitu otan, lekach ne'amar batzon, haya ro'eh, haya shomer b'shvil she'ahuv v'ne'eman l'aviv. Yosef is loved and trusted by his father. Yosef is put on the others, literally it says, as a police officer, to police the others and to see how it is that they are functioning, and that will right away lead back to this, him bringing reports to his father. By the way, that he brings these reports to his father, does his father encourage this or discourage this? No, not even according to this. According to Pshat, does he encourage this or discourage it? Exactly. He says, go out and see what they're doing in the flock and bring me a report. Which means this approach is actually really supported by the narrative later on. That Yaakov encourages Yosef to bring him reports of how the others are doing. So again, just before, we always want to ask ourselves, are we deviating from the pshat, from the simple, straightforward reading, or are we saying something fanciful, or does it fit in? So this happens to fit in very well when we take that later narrative into consideration. Correct? Correct. We'll skip a little bit later on. Vayave Yosef et dibatam ra'alavi. It's halfway down. So what is the diba? What is the bad things he would say? Which means the end of the verse that says, according to this, is modifying that middle part of the verse where it says that he was roe et achiv batzon. So therefore, what was the report? The report was about the flocks. That's important. It's important that he is only focusing on them. As I said, we do want to keep in mind to the larger dynamic. It does say something interesting in the last line here, as far as motivation goes. El avihem v'lo havi adavar lagid la'acherim, ela el avihem kidei liyasram u'laman am. That he brings the report to his father exclusively, that he should discipline them and prevent them from doing things which are negative. Which means Yosef seems to be looking at himself as being an adult, and his older brothers who deserve discipline and need to be straightened out. That's what his motivation is over here. So, which is again, that will create a very interesting dynamic. The midrash, which is told in source number 3, of course, tells us the exact opposite. In terms of the dynamic. And this was just setting the stage for what all the commentaries are going to do. I mean, each one can say the opposite of someone else. Here he says, V'hu na'ar shahayim mizalzalin b'vnei hashvachot v'yosef omeid u'mishamsham ke'eved. That the b'nei leha would embarrass the b'nei bilha and zilpa, which means, we have over here, let's keep in mind, there are four women, Rachel and Leah, and Bilha and Zilpah. Do they all have the same status? Don't answer that question right now. But the sons of Leah are the ones who are making fun of the sons of Bilha and Zilpah. And Yosef does something which is really quite interesting. We don't know exactly how they're making fun of them, but you can already guess what the content will be. What does it refer to over here? B'nei HaShvachot. The sons of the servants. So sons of servants will therefore by extension be also servants. So then you can imagine that the sons of Leah are calling the sons of Bilha and Zilpah servants. And what does Yosef then do? Yosef then acts as a servant for the B'nai Bilha and B'nai Zilpah. He goes and he treats them as if he was their servant. I'm going to come back to this because this is absolutely fascinating. Because what it, and this, by the way, would explain the anger towards Yosef, because what is it that he does? There is almost a... There are various levels of importance within the family. Who has the most important level? Yosef, Rachel's level. And when do you see that? You also see that in the way that they were lined up when they went to meet Esau. You can see where the division then. Yosef has the highest status as the older son of the favored wife. Okay. The next are the sons of the less favored wife, who apparently feel a need to establish themselves as being more important than the sons of these servants. What does Yosef then do? Yosef then goes and he serves the servants, thereby showing that they are on a higher level. Who's the one who loses the most from this behavior? B'nai Leah, because therefore he has basically outflanked them in terms of the status of these others, and therefore by him treating them with respect, the ones who loses most of B'nai Leah, so therefore the expectation of there to be different levels within the family, which it's apparently B'nai Leah want, because they would be thrust towards the beginning, and then let's keep in mind, as soon as Yosef has gotten out of the way, then they are the most important, at least in... Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Okay? So... Again, that's an interesting comment, but you do now appreciate that the difference between the Psikta and this Midrash that we just now saw is, as they say, mikatzeh, mikatzeh, from one extreme to the other, from Yosef bossing over the sons of the servants to actually being subservient to them, at least outwardly. So part of the problem, that the challenge that we're going to have, is it says, "Hayeroa et achav batzon." So which brothers are we talking about? Echav. Who are the brothers? Next, "Hunar b'nei bilhav b'nei bizilpa elaviv v'yivosei edibatam ra'ah." So is the dibatam ra'ah going back on the na'ar, which is b'nei bilhav zilpa, or is roa et achav? If it's roa et achav, who are the achav we're talking about? Is it? Which means, here's the basic question. Does he tattle on the children of Leah, the children of Bilhah and Zilpah, both, or we'll call them the Bnei Nashim or the Bnei Shvachot, or both? And what is it that he says? Which means, and now you'll see, because of this very simple verse over here, why commentaries are going to be just saying all kinds of different things, because there are so many elements within this verse that could now, again, be interpreted in different ways. Part of the problem is actually the word na'ar, v'hu na'ar. To support this, what we just now saw, let me remind you of the usage in source number 4, where it talks about Yeshua ben Nun as being a na'ar, v'diber Hashem el Moshe panim el panim kasher yidaber isha reyehu v'shav l'machaneh u'mesharato Yeshua ben Nun na'ar lo yamush mitocha ohel. So what does the word na'ar mean in this verse? The verse meant that that God spoke to Moshe face to face, and that when he turned into the camp, his servant, or misharet, his gabai, if you will, Yeshua ben Nun, na'ar, so I'm not translating the word na'ar, didn't leave the tent. Rabbeinu Bechaye, in source 5, is also the Rambam of the Noah Nevuchim, says something very similar. Rabbeinu Bechaye in source 5 says, oh, hold it, let's do the math. How old is Yeshua at this point? And he comes to the conclusion that Yeshua is 56 years old. If he's 56 years old, how is he calling him Na'ar? Im kein ben 56 shanim shana haya, ve'ech yikroa katuv Na'ar. Aval inya Na'ar misharet. The word Na'ar means sometimes a young person, but sometimes the word Na'ar means a servant or to serve. And you can look it up. I look this up in various dictionaries. You could look up the word na'ar, I have a wonderful dictionary of biblical words at home, and the word na'ar is used at times as somebody who serves. So over here, and it says, v'hu na'ar et b'nei bilhav b'nei zilpah, the Otz Midrashim is certainly understanding it in that direction, that he served those brothers. Rashi takes it in a completely different fashion, and Rashi is what some of you were brought up with, and Rashi sees this as immaturity. in source number 6. V'unar, she'ose ma'ase na'arut. He acted in an immature way. Mitaken b'sa'aro, m'mashmesh b'einav, k'dei she'yu nir'ah yafeh. That Yosef acted as a teenager, and he combed his hair in funny ways, and it says that he made his eyes look nice, and so on and so forth, and he was concerned with his look. So Rashi understands na'ar, but the problem is, what does it mean? It depends who you're asking. That's part of the problem. Over here, but what does it mean, hunar et b'nei bilha? So Rashi, then, what does it mean? It's almost like then a non sequitur. He would put on, he would fix his hair, et b'nei bilha, klom of ragile etzel b'nei bilha lefi shahayu achin mevazinotan v'hu mikarvan. And Rashi actually is not so simple, because Rashi separates between hu na'ar and then et b'nei bilha, meaning et na'ar, he was immature, et b'nei bilha b'nei zopa, because the others would make fun of them, and he tried to bring them closer. So now you see that the second part of Rashi over here, see, he doesn't go as far as the Midrash that we saw. He doesn't go so far as to say the word na'ar in this context means to serve, but he does say that the others made fun and he tries to bring them closer. So again, we see within Rashi a tension which exists between the various strata, as it were, and again, the highest level son helping out the lower level son. Rashi continues, Edibatam Ra'a, Ko Rashi Aro Be'achav B'nei Le'a Hayamagid La'aviv. Which means, Rashi then goes back and says the bad things he would say, that goes back to the B'nei Le'a. So, and again, you saw how you can do this in the verse, even though, again, I'll insist that the verse is not the easiest to interpret. So Rashi has him being immature, but him helping those brothers, yet him talking, telling his father about what B'nai Le'ah did, and including what they did. It says, Shahayu ochlin evim min hachai, which is a whole thing I'm not going to get into, u'mezalzalim b'vnei ha-shvachot l'krotan avadim, and to call the sons of the shvachot slaves. So here you see, Rashi says this black and white, what we had surmised. The Rashban, hayaro et achav batzon B'nai Le'ah. So again, which brothers B'nai Le'ah? L'fi derech eretz kore echav v'lo b'nei ha-shvachot. So therefore, Rashi is saying, why does it say Achav over here, his brothers? His brothers, because that's the B'nai Le'ah. So again, you're getting the sense of this different levels. U'nar B'nai Bilha, na'aruto v'ragiluto mishta'av hayu im B'nai Bilha B'nai Zilpa. Basically, he has it that he would hang out with them. Mitoch kach hitchilu Achav B'nai Le'ah l'sno'oto. And that's why they hated him. So this, we already also had surmised. Why would B'nai Le'ah hate him? By him hanging out with B'nai Bilha, B'nai Zilpa, he was raising their level, and therefore the ones who were hurt by this are going to be the B'nai Le'ah. Yeah?
In this time when they're selling him later on, do we hear the names of the other ones?
We don't hear.
Just the sons of Leah's names that we
hear. Okay, that's an excellent question. We'll see some of the commentaries start to bring that up. As far as the names, as far as the names that are brought there, Reuven says don't. Yehuda says, sell. And the ones who say to kill him, it says, Ish el Achiv. Ish el Achiv, we're not told who it is. There is this wonderful theory of conservation of characters, where Ish ve'Achiv were Levi and, were Shimon and Levi from the previous, so therefore, and they're the ones who are hot-blooded, and they're the ones who are pulling knives on people, so therefore there is this strong suspicion, but it's not in the text. It's Ish el Achiv, which is in the text, and it doesn't say who they are. But it's a very good question. What about the B'nai Shvachot? And we'll see that question presented, but that becomes a wonderful question. If Yosef is really siding with them and helping them and supporting them, so why should they be involved in the sale? Okay, so as we'll see, that question will emerge as well. He continues the meaning the verse over here is telling all the things that happened that made them hate him.
Yosef et dibatam ra'a, et dibatam shel achiv ra'a.
Kimidrash Agadala fi Perushish Amar la Aviv Kach mivazim him bnei hashvachot. Aval ani mechabdam v'ani ragil etzlam. Pashtanim achirim lo omdu al yikar. So we hear the Rashbam accuses other commentaries of not noticing this, but he's saying that the whole thing is that the whole purpose of this verse is to show why they hated him, but it's going towards one point. What is the diba? Yosef is saying to, again, he's just putting the whole thing together. What is the diba? What is the gossip that he tells them? He says the other brothers are making fun of them, but I don't make fun of them. Quite the opposite. Yosef goes and says, I am trying to help the victim over here, and he wants Yaakov to be aware of the whole thing. Both to be aware of the way the others are insulting them and the way that he's helping. And therefore, this vinar et b'nei bilha b'nei zilpa, that he hangs out with them, is part of the diba that comes afterwards, because otherwise you really could have asked, if the diba is about the first, is about the brothers, so then why is the na'ar b'nei bilha zilpa in the middle? Right? Anybody understand what I just now said? So what you say, I don't understand what you just now said. Back in the first verse, Ela told Yaakov Yosef ben Shvasra Shana, Hayaroe techav batzon. Now, it should have then continued to say, V'yavei Yosef di batamra'a lavim. Why is the Vahu Nar b'nei bilha b'nei zilpa, why is that there in the middle? So he's saying, no, that's part of what he would tell them. He would tell them all the bad things that b'nei Leah did, including the way that they humiliate the sons of the Shvachot, and he would add, but I don't act that way, I'm actually trying to help them. And that's why that's there in the middle, according to the Rosh Hashanah. And he says, that's the main thing over here, to understand what's going on. That's the way the Rosh Hashanah understands it. The Ibn Ezra notices the word na'ar means to serve, but he flips it. V'hu na'ar b'nei bilha b'nei b'nei zilpa, source 8, ba'avur hayato katan shamuhu b'nei hashfachot shamash lahem. That because he was younger than them, they took advantage of him and they made him serve him, which means Yosef is he has a different play on it. That the b'nei shivcha, they see Yosef as younger and weaker. It was also politically, he has less support, right? You have the Bnei Leah who are one, and the Bnei Shvachot the other, and Yosef is essentially on his own, and he's younger than them, he's weaker than them, and therefore they force him basically into slavery. So again, completely different dynamic over here. And now the question, Charlotte, that you asked, you know, what they said, well, no, they see him as being a slave to them. So it also shifts around. The Radak writes, V'hu na'ar haya mitgadel imahem kishayu ro'im hatzon. I'm not positive what he means by mitgadel over here, but I think that means that they grew up together when they were out watching the flock. Mishe aviv, k'mo shekatuv b'kol achat mehem le'isha, v'lo yab ze bizayon ki b'nei nishe aviv hayu. Now, this is a very strange comment, which I actually think is incredibly important, but we'll get back to it. He says, Nishe Aviv, right, again, back to the first verse again. He says, Yaro'et et achav batzon, v'hu nar et b'nei bilhav b'nei zilpa, Nishe Aviv. Yosef calls them, which means, the text refers to Bilhah and Zilpah over here as Neshe Aviv, the wives of his father, right? Not as Shvachot. Now, this actually may be the core of the entire issue. And of course, I'll ask you what the reality was, but we'll hold on to that for a little bit, what is reality. They're called B'nei Neshe Aviv, so therefore, from the perspective over here, they're considered to be wives. If they're considered to be wives, and the children are the same as all the others. So again, read the words of the Radak. Nishe aviv k'mo shekatuv b'kol achad mehem li'isha v'lo yabezeh b'zayon ki b'nei nashe aviv hayu. Et dibatam ra'a haya omer la'aviv ki achiv hayu sonim oto. Ela b'nei ashfachot shagadal imahem v'chein b'nei hagvirot. Shehu haya mitga'e aleihem lefi shaviv haya ovo b'yoter mikol echav. So according to him, Yosef grows up together with the B'nai Bilha B'nai B'zal. Hunar B'nai Bilha B'nai Zopa means he becomes a young man with them. He grows up with them. That's the way he understands it. Which means, again, within this whole dynamic, remember, Yosef loses his mother. If Yosef loses his mother, who most naturally will be the one to be his mother, to raise him as a mother, will be Bilha. So therefore, Bilha's children would most likely be the ones that he would see as brothers. These are the ones who'd be closest with him. So here it tells us, that's what the Radak is saying, V'hunar b'nei Bilha b'nei Zilpa, he grows up together with the b'nei Bilha and b'nei Zilpa, but the ones that he grows up with, they, again, how would Bilha treat Yosef compared to how she treats her own children? Because I'm saying that's a very interesting point. How does she treat him? Which means, on the one hand, you can say, well, she treats him like a son. On the other hand, does she treat him as the daughter of her mistress, as it were, as the son, as the child of this person who used to be her boss or something? Which means, is he going to be put on a pedestal? So you hear this a little bit in the Radak is saying, is that the others ended up hating him because of his favored status, and the B'nai Leah hated him because of his favored status, right? And it could, again, he doesn't say this, I'm reading into it, it could be that Bilha treats him with his favorite status and Yaakov treats him with his favorite status. So what's the diba, according to him? That he runs back to Yaakov and says, everybody hates me. And what does Yaakov do? What does Yaakov do for his part? He punishes them all for hating Yosef. Which means over here, again, completely, you know, different dynamic than we've seen before. The Ramban. Ramban asks the simple question, which really goes back upon Rashi and a number of others who raise this, and that's what Charlotte had asked before. If Yosef is doing all he can to build up the Bnei Shvachot, v'imkein, lama lo hitzilu Bnei Shvachot, v'uhav otam, u'mikarvan, u'magid la'aviv alachim b'vizyonam, which means he loves them, he's close to them, he tells his father when they embarrass him, when the B'nai Le'ah embarrass the B'nai Shvachot, so why should they be involved in this? Why did they stop this? Ve'im nemar she'yir'u min ha'achim, if you're going to say they were afraid of the brothers, v'nehem arba ru'u v'nimahem, which means there are four of them, Dan Naftali Gad v'asher, Ruvain is against the sale, that's already five, v'yosef atzman, that's six, v'tegaver al yadam, that's six against five. Right, that's six against five. So therefore, they should have been able to defeat this nefarious sale. V'yaf ki lo yavo imam b'mochama, v'od ki nira b'katuv ki kulam hiskimu b'mchimato. No, for the text, and there are various points later on, it sounds that they all agreed with the sale. So then why would they agree? So therefore, the Rabban and Charlotte asked this difficult question in Rashi. He then goes on to explain, yomar ki hu na'ar v'hu im b'nei bilha v'nei zilpa, Aviv Tamid, Luy Parid Mihem Bavur Naruto. He always hung out with them. Because of his immaturity, he only stayed with them. Kilem Tziva Vim Shishmu Vyishar too. And they were commanded by their father to serve him. Lulu Vneha Gvirot. Vumevi Mehem Dibara Alaviyam. And he tells his father about things. The Chain Yisna'u. Eila Ha'arba Ha'achim. Why do they hate him? Because according to the Ramban, the gossip that he would tell would be the gossip about the B'nai Shvachot. And therefore, why did the B'nai Leah hate him? They hated him because he was favored. Which means, according to the Ramban, there's two different stages here. What are the two stages? The B'nai Shvachot hate Yosef because he gossips about them. The B'nai Leah hate Yosef, why? Because he's the favored one by their father. Nimtza sanu mikulam. So what's the conclusion? Everybody hates him. B'nei ha-gvirot yiknu'u bo, lami ahovoto, mehem, behem b'nei gvirakamo. The sons of Leah are jealous because they're also the sons of a wife. Why should we be loved any less? B'nei ha-shvachot, asher lo yiknu'u b'ze lama lato aleihem. Why was he placed upon them? Yisna'u bo ba'avur eto mevi dibatam elaviyem. They hated him because he would gossip about them and bring these reports to their father. So again, you have, according to Ramban, a wonderful, dysfunctional family where Yosef is the one who, I'm not sure to say, despite everything, in spite of everything, or because of everything, ends up becoming hated.
What about Binyamin?
Binyamin is too young, apparently, and he's really not a player in all of this. The Chizkuni says, very similar to the Ramban, but he adds in one element, which I think we also surmised, V'yavo Yosef et dibatam ra'a lefichach sano, kulam shenem avisnu oto, pirish kulam b'nei hashvachot b'nei adiba u'b'nei hagvira, nitkan ubo al she'oto ahav avi mikol achav. So till this point was almost the Ramban word for word. Then he adds, V'hayu yireim pen yam lichu Yaakov aleim k'moshu ratza Yitzchak lomar Esav. Hugvir lechav b'shvil shaya avato. That what were they afraid of? They were afraid that he would be placed on top of them out of Yaakov's love for him, the same way that Esav was meant to be placed upon Yaakov in terms of the blessing that was destined for him that he never got. By the way, this then becomes interesting, because again, I want to ask the question. So why do the brothers behave the way that they did? So they again, go back to their childhood, go back to the stories, go back to their frames of reference, which means their father acted the same way. As far as they know, their father acted the same way against his brother because his father had made a mistake in their mind who should be the chosen son and who should be the continuation. And they basically see, and again, you never would have thought about this. Like, you never would have drawn a parallel between, oh, Yosef and Esav, that's pretty similar. But although in Midrashic literature, Yosef is the counterbalance to Esav. As soon as Yosef is born, Yaakov says, let's go back home. Okay, and then there's a lot to be... Yosef, right. So there's a lot to talk about the Yosef Esav, you know, balancing over here. But over here, that's what the Chizkuni is really accusing, that the brothers are seeing Yosef as an Esav sort of character. Again, I'm not saying with all of the baggage to it, but I'm saying a threat. And what's important over here is that their frame of reference is how their father responded to that. So therefore, they're essentially responding in the same way. I said their perspective and frame of reference. And a matter of fact, Yaakov was willing to go to war with him. But you will say it was a defensive war. But my point is that their frame of reference is it's not such a bizarre thing for brother to fight against brother. I'm saying that again, what did they see in terms of the family relationship? It's not that they saw that Yaakov and Esav would get together at Thanksgiving every year, right? Okay, so. And again, a traumatic episode from their youth was when Yaakov prepares for war against his brother. Why? Because his brother's coming with soldiers, which means, and what's the point, what's the background of all this? The background is because their father favored them, which means in their minds, to get to the point, okay, we should kill him, I'm trying to explain what he's saying over here. Okay, what did I do? What did I do that the Chizkuni didn't do? The Chizkuni just made a comparison. And what I asked you, and I told you in the beginning I was going to ask you this. What is the frames of reference, which means where they would have gotten the thinking from? So over here, the frame of reference, which I'm claiming, is exactly when it's saying, oh, maybe this is like an Esav kind of thing. So then the response becomes in that kind of response. Yeah.
The problem was, like, but their personalities were not the same. Esav was like a hunter. And
correct. Is Diba, right.
Power,
right.
I want to go back to that thread about who's a slave, who's a servant.
I'm not yet. Soon we'll come back to it. I'll let you know. Rav Chaim Paltiel, who also comes from the school of Tosfot, v'hunar b'nei b'lhav b'nei zoha nishay aviv, kloma min aruto u'mishtuto haya im b'nei b'lhav b'nei zoha mitoch kach etchil b'nei le'el l'sno oto, which again goes back to this power play kind of thing, because he's helping them out. Because again, he's saying that's his immaturity, is that he's hanging out with them all the time, and that's what causes this. Pirish acher v'hu na'ar l'fishaya na'ar hayu misht abdimbo v'amar ken la'aviv achei b'nei le'a misht abdim b'nei zilpa b'nei bilha l'fishahim b'nei omohot ve'ele misht abdim bi. So he's claiming over here that you have a whole division over here. What we had surmised before, he says this clearly, that the B'nai Le'a would treat, not just call them slaves, they would treat them as slaves. They would force which means over here you have a series of abusive relationships where you have everybody who is abused then needs to abuse somebody else. So therefore the B'nai Leah abuse the B'nai Shvachot. The B'nai Shvachot abuse Yosef, and Yosef turns around and he then verbally gets back against all of them. So that's, again, this... What?
Right. He uses verbal
Correct.
Skills, superior verbal skills to get back at them.
Correct.
He's really younger than most of them.
Correct. The Hadr Zakenim, which also from the school of Tosfot, he goes so far as to say that he would hang out with them so much, people even thought he was one of them.
Which, did he hang out
Source 14 tells us, Vayavi Yosef, this is the Diba, he brought the Diba, he makes a real interesting and important point. Kol Lashon Mevi Diba Hu Omer Emet, Ku Mevi Ra'aya L'Dvarav, V'Kol Lashon Hotzat Diba Hu Sheker, Shemotzi Dvar Sheker Milibo. That there is a phrase, Motzi, right, Motzi Shemra, L'Hotzi Diba. Later on by the Meraglim, you'll find that they were Vayotzi Diba Ta'aretz. Right. Over here it doesn't say Vayotzi, that means that they made up something bad about the land by the spies. Over here it's that he brought. So the things that he says is fundamentally true. He continues. And he says this is the way the text really should be read, towards the bottom. This is what the text almost said, but this is what it means. Ela told that Yaakov Yosef, who nar ben shavasre shana, hayiro etachav batzon, shehem b'nei bilha b'nei zilpa, mishe aviv. So he just added in the word shehem, which means who are the ones that he's out with in the field, in the flocks, b'nei bilha b'nei zilpa. V'yavi Yosef et dibatamr al shel b'nei shvachot haniskarim, and the bad things he says is about them. Vayomer achar kach, and afterwards it says vayiru achav elu b'nei le'ah ki oto ahav avihem mikol achav v'yisna'u oto, which means according to what he's saying is that they hate him because he's favored, which is not here, which also comes out to be pretty similar to the Ramban, which if you're keeping track, Rabbeinu Bachaye is probably 80 to 90% repeats the Ramban. V'nimtza Yosef sanoi mikulam b'nei bilha b'nei zilpa, and so on and so forth. Okay, in source 15. Told that Yitzchak gives a really different interpretation. This is Rav Yitzchak Karo, the uncle of Rav Yosef Karo, and he writes that Chuvash Rezal Amru Lo Ya Adam Omed Ben Hayoshvim VeLo Yoshev Ben HaOmdim. There is a phrase in rabbinic literature that you should try to fit in. You shouldn't try to stand out. VeLo right VeLo Atzav Ben Esmechim VeLo Sameach Ben Atzavim Ela Lo Olam Tiyeh Da'ato Shadam Uver Murevet Im Habriyot. A person should always try to fit into what people are doing. Lize Amar, she Yosef hayagae im hageim, v'nar im ha'narim, v'chacham im ha'chachamim. So what is it that Yosef did? He was a chameleon, and Yosef acted the same way with whoever he was with. So when he was with B'nai Leah, he acted like them. When he was with B'nai Bilhan Zabah, he acted like them. And when he was with Yaakov, he acted like him. V'zeo yeroe t'achiv shahia ge'im, hayeroeu menahim u'mishtarer aleim, v'heim achiv b'nei le'ah, v'b'nei bilhav b'nei zopah, shahia osim ase na'arut, hayanari mehem masasel basaro. V'yisroel avet Yosef mikol banav, ki ben zakunim lo, shahia zakenimo, v'zelo, she'imo haya chacham. That he would act immaturely with the children of Bilhah and Zilpah, he would act proud and strong with the children of Leah, and he would act as a wise old man together with Yaakov. So basically, this describes Yosef, as I said, as a chameleon who... And by the way, this could also be a reason why they didn't love him. It could be that everybody felt that there was a lack of sincerity with Yosef because of... But he doesn't say that. That there's a lack of sincerity because of this... just, you know, being different things for different people.
But that's interesting. That's really understandable.
Agreed. I think it's a fascinating read into Yosef's character, and I agree with you. I think there's a lot to this, and you could easily give a whole shiur based on this. Correct. Yeah. Quotes a rabbinic source. Again, how far you should take this. Look, for example, I went to a shul this morning that thought it was a holiday today. Right? You thought it was a holiday. You Ted Kislev. I thought it was a holiday. So they didn't say Tachanun. So I'm thinking, should I say Tachanun? Not. But what's the answer? The answer is, if no one else is saying Tachanun, so you don't say Tachanun as well. It's not the worst thing. I said the Rebbe became an ex-convict today. Okay, let's look at the Sforno in source 16. Haya ro'eh tachav batzon, haya manhig umoreh otam bimilechet mar'eh hatzon. He would teach them how to be a shepherd. So again, what would be the frame of reference for this? Where does this come from? So I'll remind you of something that maybe you forgot. His mother was a shepherd. Right, his mother was the one who took out the flock. So it's quite possible that when it comes to how to be a shepherd, Yosef knows how to be a shepherd. But again, what I'm asking you to do is to try to go back to, as much as we can, to see where some behaviors may come from. He says, "Mene na'aruto chata levidi bat achiv ki lo nisa v'lo hitbonen la'acharit deva afo pisha ya'az maskil ma'od." So he's trying to balance two things. He's trying to balance that he's considered to be so smart from his father on the one hand, on the other hand, but he does something with such terrible consequences. So he says, no, he was really smart, but he didn't realize the consequences of his actions. And he says that because of his maturity, and that's Na'ar b'nei bilha, because of his maturity, therefore he brought the reports of his brothers to their father. But again, I do want to stress that the Sforno and others apparently are missing that Yaakov seems to encourage this behavior. The Alshich spells out again the divisions between the kids. V'shem atomar ki ma shahaya ro etachiv haya mitga'e v'godel levav lo mirov chachma v'kisharon lo kein hu ki alo v'hu nar b'nei bilha mitnahig imam ki nar u'misharet v'atam laharot ki lo levnei hashfachot haya machashvim rak l'neshei aviv v'zeo amar neshei aviv v'lo bilvad l'bnei bilha shivchat imo ki imgam l'bnei zilpa, v'lo bavad b'yotam arbatam yachad, sh'agav b'nei bilha yichabed gam et b'nei zilpa, ki im et kol kat v'kat b'nei atzmo, v'ze omar et b'nei bilha v'nei zilpa, v'lo omar b'nei bilha v'zilpa. That Yosef, he claims that the vision is even more profound than we thought. He claims it was even a division between Bilha and Zilpa, that even those don't necessarily get along, and Yosef is this person who's trying trying to do something with all of them. Now, there has been something which has been beneath the surface over here that we haven't said clearly yet, that I want to come back to. In the Kli Yakar, he writes, V'od kasher lahala ne'mar v'yishkav et bilha pilegesh aviv, kara pilegesh, v'kan ne'mar v'hunar et b'nei bilha v'et b'nei zilpa n'she aviv. This actually, I thought of this before I found the Kli Yakar, but this is a key in terms of the relationship. Yes. When Reuven does whatever indecency he does, and again, what the text actually says is that Reuven climbs into the bed and he lies with all implications of that, v'yishkav et bilha pilegish aviv. 35:22, that Reuven sleeps with Bilha, the concubine of his father. That tells you motivation. What's the motivation? He sees her as a concubine, and he wants it to be understood that she is a concubine. And over here, we've been talking the whole time, how somebody may have been called them slaves or whatever. Where do you see that in the text? Here, you see it in the text. How do you see it here? It's two points. One is the action of Reuven, and two is the way that Bilha is referred to. I will remind you something that we had seen early, but I didn't spell it out. That when Yaakov takes Bilhah, it says as a wife. When he takes Zilpah, the text says as a wife. It doesn't say as a Pelegish in both of those cases. It says, take my Shifra. He says he takes it as an Isha, which means the status of all four of them or is the status of wives. Whether everybody was willing to recognize that or not, that's a question. Who's the one person who didn't want to recognize that? Reuven. Reuven didn't recognize it. How do we know he didn't recognize it? Again, his actions by saying, this isn't a wife of my father. She's a concubine. She's a servant. I'm going to inherit my father's possessions anyway one day. I'm going to inherit her as well. Which means, basically, Reuven's action over here. And again, Chazal do whitewash this and say, no, he didn't sleep with her. He moved the bed, and that itself was an outrage. But again, you see the words, but I'm not even focusing on that part of it. I'm focusing on the fact that here in the text, she's referred to as Pelegish Aviv, and she's not referred to when she marries him, she's not referred to as a Pelegish, and she's not referred to in the Yosef narrative over here. Because Yosef is not B'nei Bilhah B'nei Zilpah, and what phrase is used afterwards? Nishay Aviv, which means Yosef's orientation and Reuven's orientation to these women are different. Yosef sees them as wives of his father. And again, here, you again have textual evidence of what we've been talking about. Yosef sees these women as wives of his father, and therefore, by extension, these are brothers. And on the other hand, Reuven sees Bilhah, and then certainly Zilpah, as servants, and therefore the children are servants. That is the textual evidence for the division that takes place over here. Let's continue in what the Kli Yakar then does with this. He asks, "Rav Kasha, l'hala name of Yishkarid Bilhah Pelegish Aviv, Karu Pelegish, V'kan name of Hu Narah B'nei Bilhah B'nei Zilpah Nishay Aviv." I'm in the second line of 18. Karu Ana Katuv Nashim Mamash Elavade Shekol Achim B'nei Hagvirot Hayu Mizalzelim B'nei Hashivchot Likrot Imotam Pelegshim V'Shivchot. The sons of Leah called the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, called them Pilakshim, and called them slaves. They had B'neihim Karavadim, and their children they called slaves. The Yosef Levad Hayamitchaber O B'nei Bilhah Zilpah, Kiyamar Shehem Nishay Aviv. Mamash, he says, no, they are the wives. And again, the textual evidence when Yaakov marries them supports Yosef's perspective. And we tamzez Zilzel Reuven B'Bilhah, B'choshvo Shehi Pilegish, V'eina Ishto, Alkein Bilbil Yitzo'o. And therefore, and again, he uses a nicer language, and therefore he confuses the beds, which is the way the Gemara discusses it. Umikan raya brash a kol b'nei hagvira hutzi diba al b'nei hashfachot l'krot avadim. And that's evidence that all of the sons of Leah would call the sons of the shvachot, call them shvachot, and call them slaves. Va'al ze nemar v'yavei Yosef et diba ra'a. And therefore it says that he brought the diba. Again, not that he made it up. Not that he made it up, but he brought it. In the very last line, he says, "V'achiv hitchilu b'machloket b'mashezil zelu b'nei hashvachot." The brothers bear the responsibility for this. They're the ones who started the whole problem over here because they're the ones who made fun. And again, so what happens is, B'nei Leah make fun of B'nei Shvachot. Yosef comes to defend B'nei Shvachot. What happens then? Then the B'nei Leah. B'nei Leah hate Yosef, but there's still a problem with this that I want to address. What's the problem? You can in a second.
Well, like if they all hate each other, so why was it all focused on Yosef?
Yeah, but by the way, you want to just look at 19 and 20 for a second. Look at 19 and 20. V'hibishkon Yisroel be'eretz ahiva yelech ruven v'yishkav et Bilhah Pelegish Aviv. Right? Look at source 20. V'titein lo et Bilhah shivchata le'isha. Afterwards, it says, "V'yikachet Zilpah shivchata v'dinot Yaakov le'isha." The word "ishut" marriage is used in both of those sources. I think pretty black and white. And Yosef didn't like it. Yosef is the one who fights it. But you like. Again. Okay, but nonetheless, I have to stress the word Isha is used in source 20 regarding the marriage of Bilhah and the marriage of Zilpah. The question that now comes back is the question, so why didn't they support Yosef by the sale? Okay, that question now comes back, yeah. And I'll answer that. I have an answer. Correct.
But it would seem to me that it's important to them who's the Shekhan, who's the Nisha, because that means which of the children are legitimate. There's six of them, they're dividing up to five between six of them.
Correct.
Like eight of them or between 12 of them?
When Yaakov married Bilhah, did that change their status, or were they still the servants of Leah?
The implication of the text is Leisha. That they have all rights and privileges as a wife. That's the implication of that text. That, correct. Look, again, you're working backwards. All 12 tribes, you're not going to say, oh, okay, that's the Shifchan. We treat them all as being the same. When did the shift take place? That becomes a great question. Was there tension? So, yes, what we've seen today is again, textually, we've seen the tension over here. And there it's interesting because later on the text denies it. Where's the Malach denies it? The Malach says you are still. Again, it goes back and it denies it. So it's interesting. Okay. So we still need. Yeah. We think it.
So if especially she's the mother figure of Yosef, when Reuven comes and says, no, she's my slave, it's the whole dynamic there.
Yeah, and Yosef's defending.
My stepmother.
His surrogate, yeah. Yosef is defending the stepmother's surrogate. Yeah, absolutely. And that's this other part of the dynamic, which means Yosef over here is defending those who are maltreated. On the other hand, by the problem, which comes back, is still the question that's posed by the Ramban. So why were they then all involved in the sale? Why didn't anybody come to defend him? And I'll make the following suggestion, and you can decide you like it or not. I didn't see anybody who said it, but the whole problem all along the line was that the Bnei Bilhah looked down at the Bnei Leah looked down at the Bnei Bilhah Bnei Zilpah. And there is a distinction between them. The first time that we find any kind of unity between them is by the sale of Yosef. Mm-hmm. Now, for the first time, they're treating them as equals. Now, you're involved in this. And it could be that the temptation was so great now to be involved and be treated as equals that trumped their loyalty to Yosef, because the whole problem was that they were never treated as equals. Now they're treated as equals, so now they're good. Which means, in a sense, they are at this moment becoming full-fledged brothers, and they understand something, and it's going to be true that being involved in this secret is going to give them an incredible amount of power. Which means, this is the end. Where is the end of the distinction between them? It ends right here. What? Right, but what I think what I'm saying is true, is that at this moment it ends, because at this moment they're all in it together, and at this moment again they have this unbelievable power over the others. So now there's now it comes to that. And again, the great irony is the one who suffers from all this is Yosef, who's the one who's trying to prevent there being inequality. So Yosef succeeds. Yosef succeeds in being inequality. It was just a little price that he paid. And what was the price that he paid? So that he had to be sold off as a slave. But look, what we've seen over here is this incredibly dysfunctional family. Part of the problem is... There are so many subtexts over here that are worthwhile to be explored. I mean, you think for a second about these brothers, Shimon and Levi. Think about how heroic they were. I'm not saying right. I said heroic. In terms of protecting Dina, the similarity between Yosef and Dina is profound. I mean, they're both going to be used as sexual objects, and they're both going to be taken against their will, and they're both going to but Shimon and Levi are there fighting to protect Dina, but when it comes to Yosef, they're there as the adversary, which means again a complete opposite. Right. And that's what it comes down to. It comes down to that, you know, having multiple wives may not work out that well, despite various male fantasies. This does not seem to really work out that well.
One of the things that bothers me about Rita is she's not an actor at all. She's only acted upon.
Right. And we're told very little.
Totally.
We're told very little.
And she represents, as a woman, this is the perspective, no threat to the brothers.
Right.
The way that Yosef,
right.
as a male,
right.
represents a threat.
And therefore, when it comes to Dina, they're protective of Dina.
That's right.
Right. Now also part of the irony is this wonderful midrashic theme, which Osnat is the daughter of Dina. There ends up becoming a link between the two, which by the way is really the first link between the Bnei Leah and Bnei Rachel. But it's between those who were discarded and those who were really pushed aside. So that becomes also a very interesting concept. What we saw today is a dysfunctional family. The dysfunctional family with perceptions of different levels of importance. We saw different opinions on it, but, you know, at the end of the day, again, you can choose which one you think rings truest. There are others that I didn't get to that actually don't ring as true as some as the earlier ones do. That it seems to be that Yosef is the protector of Bnei Bilhah and Bnei Zilpah. And that's the Na'ar. He serves them, he helps them, he's with them, however you want. The words that he says does not seem to be about the Bnei Bilhah and Bnei Zilpah. It seems to be the words against the Bnei Leah. The basis for this is how you perceive the Bnei Shvachot, as it were, and now you realize that may very well be a misnomer. That do you perceive them as being equals, which apparently Yosef does, or, and again, you can be cynical and say, well, it's easy for him, because by him raising them up, he weakens the Bnei Leah. Again, you could say all that, but that doesn't seem to be where Yosef is coming from. Yosef seems to be, because perhaps of his connection with Bilhah, because of the affinity that therefore he has with this, you know, sub-family within the larger family, that Yosef sees himself as their protector, which then is very interesting. Even though he's the youngest, he becomes the protector, which is also foreshadowing for later on that Yosef, for the great deal of his life, is the protector for all of his older brothers. He's the one who provides them food and all other needs, which is Yosef eventually is the Mashbir HaGadol. Yosef is the one who ends up protecting everybody. So that's not so far to say, hold it, that's what's going on over here as well. As I think the great irony over here is, and that's, again, to answer this question of the Ramban, so then what happened during the sale itself? That during the sale, that became too tempting, because during the sale, they finally got equal status, and for them getting equal status, as it were, they sold Yosef up the river. Okay, have a happy Hanukkah.